to love one another. One of the greatest commandments that Jesus said was to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and spirit. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else hinges on that, because he says, I've wrote it in your hearts. And thanksgiving is from the heart. When we celebrate Thanksgiving, we are not only celebrating being with our family and friends, but we're celebrating also our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For what the Father has given unto us, he gave us his one and only sacrifice of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, that you and I may have what we need, not so much of what we want. Because a lot of times the things that we want may not be good for us. But the Heavenly Father, through His Son Jesus Christ, has given us everything that we need. And I thank God today that we can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and we can talk about Thanksgiving, because truly it comes from the heart. I'd like for you to go with me today, if you have your Bibles, into Psalms 103:1. Psalms 103:1, we're in the Old Testament, and we want to look at this passage a little bit. Thanksgiving from the heart. The psalmist writes this and says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not." Look at what the psalmist says. He says, "Forget not all," not some, not a little, but all, capitalized, His benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?" Verse 4, "Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with," not bad things, "with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You may say today, "Well, I'm way up in age, Pastor. I'm way up in age. You know, I'm getting closer to the grave." But guess what? God's Word says He's still going to continue to renew you. And you're going to be youthful. You may feel all the aches and the pains, and you may have all the frustrations, and you may be dealing with a lot of ailments. But the Bible says clearly that He's going to continue to renew you just like the eagles. I've said this and will say it again. Eagles, I find, is a fascinating bird. And what I find with an eagle is when an eagle begins to get a certain age at 43, he has to make a decision whether he's going to die or whether he's going to live. And an eagle has to decide, because he will lose his feathers, he will lose his claws, he will lose his beak. He will begin to lose things to renew himself so that he can continue to live out his life. And so there's decisions that an eagle has to make. So an eagle will go into captivity. He will go into, they love to stay up in the high parts of the mountains and high areas. And so they basically start reforming again. But feathers begin to come out. The beak begins to grow. The claws begin to come out. Why do they do that, Pastor? Because the eagle had to make a decision whether he was going to die or whether he is going to live. I want you to know today, we're not here just to die. We're not here just to say this is it and that's the way it is. No, God is renewing us. That's why the scripture says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. God is renewing you, refining you, and He's going to continue to keep His hand upon you until you give your last breath. God has great and mighty things for you in store. All you have to do is bask in His love, bask in His grace, bask in His mercy, and know that Jesus Christ is going to continue to sustain you every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We can be renewed. You can be renewed. They may be things that you're facing. They may be things that you and I may go through. There's things that we will deal with. Jesus said, I went through it, and if I went through it, you're going to go through it. But guess what? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and therefore you and I have victory on top of victory. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, through this passage of Scripture, David's great song of thanksgiving begin to come forth. This is his song that he began to sing. He encourages himself to give thanks for daily blessings. There are times, folks, you're going to have to talk to God and talk to yourself. It seems like the older I get, the more I talk to myself. And there are times that we've got to encourage ourselves by the Word of God. And if we're waiting on somebody to encourage us, you might be waiting a long time. But how you encourage yourself is you get into God's Word and let God's Word penetrate your heart and mind so that you can be encouraged. There was nobody around to encourage David. So David says, I'm going to encourage myself, Brother Ron. I'm going to encourage myself. And he began to encourage himself. He reminded himself of God and how faithful He is. He reminded himself how good God had done. He was an old smelly shepherd boy, but God, hallelujah, began to raise him up to become a great and mighty king of Israel. But guess what? God didn't forget about him. Even though he sinned, even though he began to transgress against God, he never forgot the kindness. He never forgot the grace. He never forgot the mercy. He never forgot the love of God. And that same God that loved him then is the same God that loves you and I, because He extends His grace and mercy to us all. He reminds himself of the benefits that God had given him. Even we see here, even in the pilgrims, remembered God's benefits. The pilgrims in Thanksgiving, they arrived November the 11th in 1620 on the rock coast of Cape Cod. They came to a new world to seek a place to worship in freedom. They suffered many hardships, even the first winter, and including the deaths of half of them. But they established the first Thanksgiving in spite of their many problems in getting over here. And the question would be today, for what should we be thankful for today? What do you have that you know of that you're thankful for today? My first point today is this: we should be thankful for the essentials of life. We should be thankful for the essentials of life. I want you to know today, a world which we live is taking for granted just the essentials in life. Thank God that you've got shoes on your feet. Thank God that you've got a table that you can eat. Thank God that you've got a roof over your head. Thank God that you've got clothes on your back. These are the essentials that we need to constantly remind ourselves and thank the Lord for what God has done for us. You see, I have learned that in America, we live like kings and queens. I have gone to third world countries. I've done missionary work. And it's staggering to know when I come back into the States how rich we are. We're rich in a lot of things. This is one of the richest nations in the world of all that we have at the fingertips of all that we've got. And yet there are times that if we're not careful, even on the essentials, we'll take for granted for what God allows Himself for you to have and for you to enjoy and have what you need. Listen, 1 Timothy 6 and 8 says this, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." The Apostle Paul, he writes and he says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." I want you to know today who brings provision for you. Who brings provision for you? You may say, "Well, my husband does. My wife does. The government does." We'll say all these provisions. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now and sum it up. Who brings provision? God Almighty, Jesus Christ, brings provision to you every day. He allows you to wake up and get on your job. He allows you to have what you have. And it is a blessing and an honor what God does, even for America today. And yet there are people in America still shake their fist at God, and yet He brings essentials to them on a daily basis. Listen. Having food should make us thankful. A good harvest makes even the pilgrims thankful. They had little else, and yet millions of people go to bed hungry. Enough to eat is cause for the thanksgiving. Listen, having adequate clothing should make us thankful. Winter finds many people cold and insufficiently protected, and those who are comfortably clothed are privileged at few. And yet, what other essentials do we take for granted? Let's focus on what we have instead of what we want to be thankful for. Let me say it again. Let's focus on what we have instead of what we want to be thankful for. Let's thank God that He's been a God. Let me go a step further, that we're not in a trauma unit right now. That you're not in a nursing home right now. That you're not in rehab right now. Thank God. Some will say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with." Go to the nursing homes. You'll see real quick who's dealing with what. And it'll make you appreciate it. Go to the trauma units. Go through there. I was just reminded just this week and last week, soon-to-be son-in-law, his brother was in a serious accident, reared away from not hitting a deer and wound up hitting a tree head-on. And while he was there, some people came by to help him get out of a car, and just as soon as they helped him get out of the car exploded. Folks, I want to tell you today, you never know what you're going to encounter. You never know what is going to happen. And that's why that we need to understand that we need to be thankful that God is allowing you to live today. That God is allowing to put oxygen through your lungs and your heart beating. We need to thank God every day when we wake up to say, "Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for the essentials that I have. Lord, thank you for blessing me and my family. Thank you for the strength that you give." Why? Because you never know. We never know, folks. Listen. Those who are comfortably clothed, some, few are privileged. Yet, what other essentials do we take for granted? I want us to look at this. Let's focus on another thing. We should be thankful for everything in life. We should be thankful for everything in life. Now, I know today may sound, a lot of my points may sound elementary, But I want you to know how serious it is that we need to be thankful. Because thanksgiving comes from the heart. God clearly has given unto us so that we can give to others. And yet the heart tells it all. The heart tells it all in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, the Apostle Paul writes this and says, in everything, not some things, not when you're feeling good, in everything, when you're feeling bad, maybe going through a test, maybe going through a trial, maybe dealing with cancer, I don't know. But he says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. I've said it and will say it again. It doesn't matter what you're going through and what you're dealing with. It should never change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have cancer now. You may not have ailments going on now. You may say, well, Pastor, I'm doing great. I've got my house, my cars, my families, everything else. Everything is hunky-dory and everything's going great. But I want you to be encouraged today to know that one day things may change different. And if it does, you should not let your relationship be changed because of the bad that you may deal with in life. Because guess what? Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will still stay intact. Because Jesus says, I'm closer to you than a brother or a sister. I'm closer to you than anybody else. And it doesn't matter whether you're on cloud nine or whether you're in the deeps of the valleys that you don't know which way is up. God is in both areas. And God will sustain you and take care of you every step of the way. All things, I want you to know today, work together for the good of those who love God. Romans 8 and 28. Boy, my mother quoted this scripture a lot, and my sister has quoted this scripture a lot in Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. When you love God and love all of His benefits and love all the grace and the mercy that He extends unto you, the heart of thanksgiving comes out and all things begin to work for your good when you begin to love on God. You may say, Pastor, you got to love God when you're dealing with cancer. Do you love God when you're dealing with circumstances? Yes, you still love on God. You still give Him praise. You still give Him glory, because it does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our loving Father has the whole world in His hands. Be thankful for His weather, good or bad, whatever it may be. Be thankful for His promises that meets us in life's storms. Because I would rather be in a storm with Jesus than for me to be in a storm by myself. I would rather be in the storm of God Almighty than for me to try to fight and try to get through what I'm getting through. I don't know how the world goes through what it goes through without Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of your faith. He who begins a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the very end. God doesn't start something and drops it. When He begins to do a work in your life, He will complete it to the very end. And He will see that it's completed. Listen, I want you to know that God has designed us to give Him thanks, to be thankful, to be thankful that we know the one who holds the future and can rest in his care. Be thankful that there is a design in our difficulties. There is a reason. There is a purpose when we go through things. We don't need to shake our fist at God and say, God, why are you doing this? We are to look to God. He that humbles himself shall be exalted, but he that exalts himself shall be humbled, is what Jesus said. And if we humble ourselves and say, Lord, you know my ways. You know my life. You know what I'm trying to do. As we know about Hezekiah, King Hezekiah was at a point where he was going to lose his life. Isaiah the prophet went in and said, God told me to tell you to get your house in order, Hezekiah, because you're going to die. And the Bible says that he turned his head, and the Bible says he wept bitterly and began to beg God and say, God, you know how I've walked before you. You know what I have done. You know what I've tried, and I've been true, and I've done everything that you've asked me to do. And God heard his cry. And as Isaiah was walking out of the house, God said, go back and tell Hezekiah I've extended his life. And he went back and told Hezekiah, he says, God has extended your life. Folks, I want you to know today that God is your source. He is the one that we can say that we can be thankful, because we can have a heart of thanksgiving because of what God has done for you, God will continue to do for you. Listen. Be thankful. Being thankful. Listen, trouble teaches us patience. Trust in the Lord. Romans 5 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes and says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. The things that you and I go through also develops perseverance, that we can persevere through the things of life that come our way. Problems, large and small, are intended to make us more like Jesus. Because Jesus said, listen, I've been there. I've done it. And if I've been there, done that, you're going to go through it too. But he says, but guess what? I've overcome it. You can overcome it. You can do it. Romans 8 and 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Be thankful for the trouble that has not come our way. Be thankful. God spares us many heartaches of which we are unaware. Did you know that? Why? Because Jesus is forever interceding for you and I. Did you know that? He is going to God, and Jesus is praying for you. He is bringing everything to his Father. He is forever interceding for you. Did you know that? Some may think, well, Jesus is just in the heavens and he's just sitting by his Father and that's all he's doing. No, that's not all he's doing. The Bible says he is forever interceding. He is praying. He is talking to God. Why? Because the devil is going in and out of heaven talking with God and saying, guess what? He or she's not this. He's not that. And what is Jesus saying? God is saying, I see them, but I see them through my Son, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's going to constantly try to put us down. But Father, God the Father, sees us through his Son, Jesus Christ, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh my, let me go on here. Listen. Romans 8 and 35 says this. Listen, this is assurance, folks. A lot of times I read this in funerals, But this is very appropriate for today. I want you to see how good God is, how His grace is, how His mercy is, how that He loves us with unconditional love. Romans 8 and 35. Who shall, the Apostle Paul asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? Paul asked that question. Who can separate us from the love of God? Who? Just name it. Just name who can separate. I want to hear it. Paul says, I want to hear it. If you can name something that can separate me from the love of God, I want you to start naming it. Because this is what Paul says. Shall tribulation, he asked a question, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am, this is what Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Period. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because God is love. And guess what? He cannot lie, folks. He cannot lie. He is love. He delivers us from destruction. Psalms 103 and 4, as the psalmist writes, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Third, we should be thankful for eternal life. We should be thankful for eternal life. Look at this word, eternal, forever, infinity. And beyond, it goes on and on and on and on. Listen, we can't even begin to scratch the surface of what God is saying unto us. Eternal, to be thankful for eternal. Eternal life, we should be thankful. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The gift of eternal life. God's grace should make us thankful. There's the heart of thanksgiving. Not because of all the food and the family and the friends and all that. The heart of thanksgiving is that God is giving us eternal life. And everybody can receive the gift of eternal life. The Bible says we're all sinners. And we're undeserving of salvation. Romans 3 and 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They all have turned aside. They have all have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throats is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Their poise with poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And they in the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God because of their before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in God's sight. In His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Lord. That's why we need Jesus in our lives. Listen, Jesus had to come because he had to save us, not in our sins. He had to save us from our sins. He had to come and redeem us. He had to come and shed his blood upon Calvary's cross so that you may be redeemed with loving kindness, with grace, and for mercy, and that you would have a heart of thanksgiving in your life through the Son of Jesus Christ. That you would be thankful. Thank you, Lord, for your Savior. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you can forgive me when I'm wrong. Listen, we deserve only death and hell. But thanks be to the Lamb of God, we can miss a place called hell and make heaven our home. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of his grace is eternal life. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. We, who were without hope, have been assured that we'll never perish again. Why? Because God thought of you through his Son, Jesus Christ. As we are familiar with the passage of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is assurance of eternal life and should make us thankful every day that you and I have eternal life. 1 John 5:12, in my closing, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that it has been written that you may know that you have eternal life. God is reassuring you and I that we have, above all, that you and I can have and sustain eternal life. Christians will be thankful even in heaven. Because Revelation 7:11 says this, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Folks, I want you to know today, this picture is much bigger than you and I and our minds. Our minute minds could ever think or fathom. God is great and mighty. You've heard me say it. Let me say it again. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for his people and those that love him. It's amazing what God, what he is, what he does, and what he will continue to do in our hearts and in our lives. Yet, I want to share with you today, start rehearsing heaven's song of thanksgiving. Start practicing down here. A thankful heart will make earth more heavenly when we have a heart of thanksgiving to know how much we are blessed. What the Bible says, what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What is loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I just did a funeral not too long ago with Brother Clyde Ray Ledford. He was 91 years old, and he had been a member of this church for many, many years. My oldest member and oldest running member at Victory Fellowship. But I had the privilege to do his funeral. His family had asked me, and I did. And I'll never forget the things as I began to reminisce on his life as he saw me as a little boy. He actually knew my family before I was even born. Can you imagine that? And I remember as I was conducting the funeral there that he would always say when he would come into church, he would say, "I need your prayers and you need to practice." And every time that I would see him before and after, he would say, "I'm going to do something the devil won't do." I said, "Well, Brother Clyde, what is that?" He said, "I'm going to leave you alone." And he would always tell me that. And that was something that he always said, and he always talked about his church, loved his church. And it was always, "Bless your heart. Bless your heart." Everything he said was, "Bless your heart." But I'll never forget those things, but he was very strong in his faith. And when he was talking to someone about the Lord, and he was telling them how good God is, if they looked at him and what didn't agree with him, he would look at them and tell them, "I'm sorry you feel that way." But he said, "But that's what the Word of God says." And he would look at them like that. He'd say, "Well, I'm sorry." He said, "But that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says this." And he was very strong in his faith, but I was always reminded he always had a loving heart and he always had a heart of thanksgiving because he thanked his Lord for his grace and his mercy. And he thanked the Lord that he lived to be 91 years old. And you know, we may have that opportunity or we may not have that opportunity, but you know what? We need to count our days because the Lord says clearly in the Word, He says, "Number your days. For all of our days are numbered." We don't know when we will leave this life, but one thing we've got to be reassured is to know that we've accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and in our lives today. Stand with me across the building today. God does not want any of us to perish, but He wants us to have everlasting life. And I'm always reminded of how strong God's mercy is and how strong His grace is. You can see it all through the Bible. You can see how strong God is and how strong His mercy is. But if you would, right where you're at, if you'll bow your heads, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank You, Lord, for this day, Father. Lord,